Tiger's got 152 yards. Should be just a nice, comfortable 9-iron for him. They're gonna go nuts when he hits this thing.
Oh! He went in!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Mickelson magic at 50.
Koepka, a major champion.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
For tournament predictions and conversation on all the storylines across the PGA Tour, this is On the Green, WFUV's exclusive golf podcast.
Welcome back to our second episode of On the Green here at WFUV Sports. I'm Dan Bartels, pleased to be joined with Tucker Austin today, producing and co-hosting. And we just came off one of the best, honestly, in my opinion, in all of sports, but specifically in golf, the Masters. And Scottie Scheffler, just as the sweet smell of the Augusta grass was settling, Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, showed why, winning his second green jacket, the first one he won in 2022. And 2 years later, Tucker, Scottie Scheffler, number one, still on top.
Yeah, just a great tournament from Scottie. And just that fourth round, when he made the turn, that back nine, it just looked like he was having fun out there. Yeah. Like, he was having a great time, and he's playing the best golf of his life right now. And by the time a couple other players made some doubles, it started to look like a foregone conclusion, and he just kind of he enjoyed it. He enjoyed that back nine.
Yeah, that turn at Amen Corner on Sunday, he certainly started to get the feeling. Everyone was cheering him on, saying, "Come on, Scotty, bring it home." And you got the sense that, you know, and we'll go through everything and what exactly happened in the 88th Masters at Augusta National. 1 through 5, Scottie took it away, minus 11 on the day. But number two, the Swede, not too far behind, Ludvig Åberg, minus 7, 4 shots behind Mr. Scheffler. And then two other Americans rounding out and tied for third, but three are tied for third. Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, the Americans, and then the Englishman, Tommy Fleetwood, all at minus 4. Cam Smith, Bryson DeChambeau, minus 2, tied for 6th. I do want to touch on Bryson, because going into the tournament, Thursday started, Friday came around, even up to Saturday, Bryson was playing very, very well. He was minus 5 on the 15th hole on moving day, which is Saturday, and he muffs a chip into the water, triple bogeys, and he was never the same.
Yeah, his first round was just a heater in terms of his career. Mm-hmm. 7 under in the first round, like, there's no better than that. And that was also his best single round in a major championship. And after that, he did not shoot under par again. So really just kind of just lost his form as the weekend went on. We saw he had some momentum going on after that first round, and he was feeling himself a little bit. In the second round, he had that fun moment where he lifted the signpost out of its moorings to get it out of his way for a second shot on 13. Some great social media content there. But after that, move on to the third round, and he has kind of an implosion there on Saturday. 5 bogeys and 1 double with 4 birdies. And then a rough start to the fourth round for Bryson, but he turned it around a little bit. A couple of birdies on 4 and 5, and then played even golf until 17, where he picked up a bogey. But yeah, just a kind of a rough end of the weekend for Bryson. But it was interesting to see him up there in the lead and among the leaders at the start of the weekend.
It was really that third day that did him in, and he's played so well. He's the doctor. Like, we all look to Bryson for the memes, because he's just, you know, gripping it and ripping it, and that's all of us at the range after a couple golf balls. But Bryson is so in tune with his game, and he studies it, and he's so smart, and it's just unfortunate to see what ended up happening. He ended up finishing moving day on Saturday, 18. He had a nice hole out from like 150. It was nice to see that he had a little bit of momentum, but he just could not get it done. But someone who has gotten it done in the Masters and did not this week, and a lot of us were pulling for him, is Tiger Woods. And Tiger is someone who's won the green jacket 5 times. If he won one more, he ties the great Jack Nicklaus, basically putting him, obviously he's the greatest of all time, but cementing it finally. So, you know, not like that's already been done. But he made the cut for the 24th straight time. That is a record. But he ended up finishing last at plus 16. Not too pretty for Tiger down the stretch.
Yeah, it was a weekend of records for Tiger Woods. You mentioned the 24th straight made cut, most by any player at the Masters. On the unfortunate side, he had a record worst round in the third round, an 82. Mm-hmm. And I would really, I think I would chalk that up to the unfortunate circumstance of Friday.
Yeah.
Because the first round obviously got delayed because of rain, and then he couldn't finish his round because it got dark on Thursday. He played 23 holes of golf on Friday.
Yeah.
And then you come into Saturday, and he shoots his worst round at a major, coming
at
the
not,
Masters.
Coming in not playing a lot of golf anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And also, his score of 16 over was his record worst finish at a 72-hole event in his career. But on the bright side, we mentioned the made cut. And really, outside of him looking sort of battered as he normally does, we know he's aging, and we know his body has been beat up over the years. But it was really fun to see a shot of youth when he got paired on the last day with the low amateur, Shipley.
Yeah, yeah, and we could definitely talk about Shipley, too, because he earned his way into the 88th Masters. He was the runner-up at the 2023 U.S. Amateur Cherry Hills in Colorado last summer, and now he's leaving as Augusta National. He was the top low amateur, and it was funny. There was a moment in one of the interviews they asked him, and it has now become a meme, where he's looking to the side, and they said, did you get a note from Tiger? And he was saying, no, that never happened. And, you know, obviously I take his word for it. But graduate from Ohio State, finished 12 over par, but he said playing with Tiger, and I quote, "Sunday at the Masters the whole week, I think I would have to win one of these things to kind of keep on top." And Shipley said that after his round one over 73. But in totality, Mr. Austin, how about that, for Mr. Shipley. What you see out of the amateur? Because really good play, and he shocked a lot of people.
Yeah, honestly, for an amateur, I would say he had an excellent first round performance of 72. His fourth round performance was also very solid, one over. Round two and round three are a little rough around the edges, but again, he is an amateur.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really like... I like this kid's aura.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny to say, but his caddy this weekend was his high school golf teammate and friend, Carter Pitcairn. That is so awesome and so cool for the two of them to get to experience that together. And it's especially cool for him and his friend to he's not only the only amateur to make the cut, but he also gets to play with Tiger Woods, a five-time green jacket winner, legendary golf mind. He gets to spend a full day on Sunday just talking it up with Tiger and playing some good golf. He gets another appearance later this year at the U.S. Open from June 13th to June 16th, so I look for him to make a little noise at his next major, and there is no doubt in my mind that if this kid sticks around, he will have plenty of supporters. Just seeing him associated with Tiger, I'm sure all the Tiger fans are loving him for that interaction. And he's just a really likable player. I like what he's got. He just seems like a normal guy, and he knows that he looks like that.
Right.
That's kind of his bit. He's like, I'm just a regular guy with long hair. I don't look like the rest of these pro golfers, but I'm here. So I'm really excited to see what he can put together.
And playing in the Masters, he sure played like a pro, and really, really respectable showing there from Shipley. And that's kind of what this Masters brings to the table, Tucker. It's these opportunities. I talked about it last week. We talked about the PGA in last week's episode. Talked about Michael Block and how this guy just kind of comes out of nowhere and all of the people are, you know, rooting him on because he's one of us. He's, you know, just a normal layperson who happens to be really good at golf. And, you know, Neil Shipley, an amateur, he has a long history ahead of him, and I'm excited to see. Someone who's had a long history, do want to touch on this too. Vern Lundquist, the broadcaster, final year after 40 years calling the Masters. There was a funny meme too that went around where he's putting his hand out behind a tree. A lot of memes that came out of the Masters.
Big social media weekend.
But, you know, Vern Lundquist, we got to give our honors. And that was a cool moment, him, you know, shaking hands with Tiger.
Yeah, 40 career Masters covered. In an interview, he labeled two of the best calls of his career, the 1986 Masters, when Jack Nicklaus made his putt to win the tournament, and 2005 at the 16th hole when Tiger, that famous Nike logo chip-in.
Oh, my gosh.
And I agree. The meme was hilarious. Just watching Tiger Woods shake hands with a tree was that was so perfect.
Can't make it up.
But he did a great job. Again, of course, he's had the job for 40 years, covering the Amen Corner. But it was so. It was a cool, but also a sad moment, I think, to just kind of hear him get a little emotional, a little choked up a couple times, yeah, calling his last few tee shots at 13. And I just think CBS did a really good job.
They didn't
do too much over the top, but each individual commentator got a chance to sort of tip their cap to Vern, and Vern was so great with it. He really held it together even with getting choked up. He maintained his composure, and really it was a perfect send off for him.
Touching on that 16 thing, there was a video I saw. There was the camera crews that there's a guy for cameras at the Masters, camera 10, whatever it was. You're supposed to be focused on Tiger. And there was another one supposed to be focused on the ball. And as that ball's going towards the hole, it obviously stops right at the hole for a couple of seconds. And the producer was supposed to say, and he actually did, he said, "I need the shot of Tiger." And the guy overrode what he was supposed to say. And we have the obviously moment of glory where you see the ball drop into the hole and the rest is history. And then you get Tiger's reaction. But really great stuff all around. Vern Lundquist will certainly be missed very dearly. But someone who missed, honestly, the Masters of the Cut, didn't miss the cut, but he finished second. And I do want to touch on the Swede, Ludvig Åberg. And this is a guy who I look at, 6'3", his favorite golfer is Scotty. And he said that openly. He was saying, it was an honor to play with Scotty this week and learning a lot from him. He finished his first Masters with a score of -7 on Sunday and was in second place, and that's where he ended up finishing. He shot -3 for the final round with a double bogey and 5 birdies, and he parred the final hole. So watching Åberg, it was very impressive to see him maintain the consistency throughout the tournament. He was right there with Scotty most of the time, right there with the leaders all through and through, and finished second, -7, 4 shots behind Scotty. Just watching his game, Tucker, it really reminds you of what a potential number one in the world could really look like someday, because he's got all the tools to be a really good golfer.
Oh, for sure. And I think the most standout part of Ludvig Åberg is that he's only 24 years old.
Right.
This guy is going nowhere. Ludvig Åberg will continue to compete for the rest of this year and for years to come. Just an incredible performance for his first appearance at the Masters, also his first major of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he charged up the leaderboard on Sunday, 3 birdies on the front 9, really making Scotty sweat a little bit there.
Yeah.
I think at one point he was only 1 shot behind Scotty before he unfortunately made a double on 11. That kind of sealed the win for Scotty. Åberg was really the last guy who was knocking on the door near the end of the tournament, but he makes that double. Scotty goes up by 3 or 4 shots, and it's Scotty Scheffler. He's the number one golfer in the world. He's not coughing up that lead, and especially not at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
But he has incredible talent, and he has a lot of poise and composure for being as young as he is. He could make a mistake over this weekend at the Masters, but he would turn the page in an instant. And he was always maintaining his composure and just making the shots he needed to make. And it shows in his final score. It shows in his position. A nice second place finish, and I would really look for him to hang around the top of leaderboards for the rest of the season.
Yeah, his iron game was dialed in throughout the whole tournament. He putted really well. All around great golfer, the Texas Tech product. He bet on himself, came to the States and took on the college ranks and rose up through the PGA in the way that he did. And that's obviously a discussion too, because 1 through 5, all PGA players in the finals. So I know Liv, you could talk about that. And I had perfect segue into this guy, because Jon Rahm, and we were talking about it last week, Will Talent, Jack Warner, the greats here on the green, they gave their takes, and we had a bunch of different picks. And Jack picked Rory to win. I picked Jordan Spieth to win, which was a total miss on my part. But, I expected him to have some magic. And then Xander Schauffele for Will, who obviously didn't do that well either. But they all were fading Jon Rahm and the winner of last year. And I didn't do that. And I should have, looking back, because he finished +9. We talk about this idea of PGA and LIV. it could have been an instance, and it actually did get to him, and we talked about it before the podcast, how John Rahm was getting a lot of looks from the PGA guys, and some of the guys were not as cordial with him as they were in the past. And he was a Masters winner last year, and it's just, it was a little awkward seeing him put the green jacket on Scotty, and I don't know how Scotty feels towards Rahm, if he's one of those guys that doesn't really like him, but it's a tough thing to balance, Tucker, and I want to get your take on all of that and just the PGA Tour and LIV and Rahm kind of missing the cut and not playing well as he did last year.
Yeah, I think the whole merger situation just adds infinite complications to interactions between PGA Tour and LIV Golf players, and this situation with Rahm is the perfect example. I've seen media outlets from all over the place saying a million different things about the Rahm situation. Some of them were saying that Rahm is like criticizing PGA golfers for not accepting him at the Masters.
No way.
Others are saying that like Rahm is like terrible for going to LIV and that like he deserves to be shunned at the Masters. But at the end of the day, like they're just golfers, man.
Right.
And it's the Masters.
Right.
They're just here to play some good golf at the beautiful Augusta National. It's supposed to be the pinnacle of the sport every year. You don't need to have any of the like LIV versus PGA hanging over it. And I know people love to talk about it. And like we mentioned that the top six players were PGA Tour, and obviously PGA Tour fans are going to be doing backflips over that.
Right.
But I liked seeing DeChambeau up there.
Me
like
too.
Since he's on LIV, you don't see him around in the PGA Tour at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked seeing him back in the day. Back in the day, two years ago. Like hitting 330-yard drives every time. Like you talked about it earlier, he's got the big stick, but now you don't see him ever. And the same thing's happening with Rahm. Like PGA Tour viewers and fans just don't see him at all. And then this is his first tournament since signing his multi-year deal with LIV, reportedly worth over $300 million. It was formerly estimated at like $550 million. I don't know how it like suddenly became three.
Yeah.
It seems like there's some shoddy reporting going on out of LIV Golf. But I think the key for Rahm's unfortunate 9-over performance was his putting.
Right.
8 3 putts in the tournament this weekend, and that is
can't do that.
That's just not, you're not going to win a tournament 3 putting that many times. And with the interactions with other players, I saw interviews with Rahm where he said he got sort of a mixed reception. Like some guys who he expected not to be cordial, maybe like actually interacting with him.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys who he expected to be cordial, just kind of shunning him and looking the other way. But I mean, what do you expect with such a like a murky situation? You're not really going to get a straight answer. You're going to get mixed receptions on both ends.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You have to ask yourself the question, what's best for you and your family? And there's something to be said about the PGA, too, rising up through the ranks and the Corn Ferry Tour and earning your stripes. And there's something to be said about that in any sport that we watch in America. But, you know, if you're getting paid more money to have more time to play golf, too, because that's a big thing. That's why a lot of these guys are going to LIV. They're getting better schedules, more time to have, you know, play golf and improve. And, you know, the PGA is a little restrictive in that regard, but I don't know. It's a tough, tough situation if you're John Rahm. But +9, that's even tougher. And another guy who I've been pulling for, and Jack Warner the Great had him winning, Rory McIlroy, +4. And I don't know what's wrong with Rory. And you could look and say, Dan, what do you mean? Rory's been playing great. He won the CJ Cup and the Genesis Open in 2023 and the Canadian Open and the World Golf Championships in 2020 and the Wells Fargo. You know, Rory's been great, but I have not seen a Masters out of Rory, and I'm waiting to see when that final shoe drops, when he can get on top and be one of the greatest golfers that we know he can be again.
I think the phrase goes, there's a monkey on his back, but in this case, I'd say it's probably more than one monkey at this point.
A lot of monkeys.
Another opportunity to complete his career Grand Slam goes to the wayside this weekend. He can't get it done at the Masters with a 4-over performance. His round two, I think, was really the killer. No birdies, 3 bogeys, and a double. That it's hard to come back from. And, just a really tough weekend for Rory again at Augusta. And you mentioned he had like he is a winning golfer. He has a much higher ceiling than we have seen from him at Augusta. He just needs to get things to click at the right time. And I suppose next year will be another opportunity for him, but it doesn't go around this year. There's actually a little bit more interesting news about Rory that came out this week, a little bit after the Masters. A report from a London newspaper said that LIV had offered him $850 million and an equity stake in LIV Golf, which Rory then immediately dismissed as a rumor, saying he intends to finish his career in the PGA Tour. First of all, I love that response from Rory.
Me
that
too.
Pretty much just puts everything to bed. There's been speculation for a while about if the PGA's like golden boy pretty much this whole time through the entire LIV controversy would actually jump ship. And here is finally the definitive no, I am a PGA Tour golfer from Rory. Love that from him. Don't love that from the London newspaper that reported that, because that's just slander against Rory. It's definitely because he's from Northern Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely the reason why.
Some geographical tensions there. But Rory even said, he was like, where'd that come from? I have no idea. So it's just hearsay. Rory's going to stay in the PGA. And one last person I do want to touch on before we wrap this up is Colin Morikawa. And he played very well. I said last week on the Green, put him in your top five. And Colin Morikawa played great golf. He finished tied for third, minus four behind Tommy Fleetwood, the Englishman, and another American, and Max Homa, who also fell off the board. I had Max Homa doing very well. And I don't know, he just kind of fell off. He had a tough bounce on 12 and really was not the same after that. But Colin Morikawa was playing at moments better than Homa. They were kind of in the same boat most of the tournament. They were both up and down, but they were both in the mix. When you look on TV, they're on that leaderboard that you could see, the top five, top six, whatever the case may be. Colin Morikawa, known for his putting, but also really known for his iron game. And Tucker, it just wasn't there this week.
No, yeah. My roommate is actually a big Colin Morikawa fan, so we were watching Morikawa's game very closely, and he was stressing on Sunday watching Morikawa play. It sucked to have to watch my roommate go through the Morikawa downfall, but he honestly had a great chance to win. He trailed Scotty by a shot going into Sunday, but unfortunately he goes double bogey at 9 and 11. Mm. His first double bogeys of the entire tournament came in the final round, which is not ideal. But even if you had swapped out those double bogeys for pars on both of those holes, Colin still would have finished 3 strokes behind Scotty. So I think that says more to Scottie Scheffler's complete dominance of this tournament, especially on Saturday and Sunday. But Colin did manage 3 birdies in that last round. A 74 on Sunday is not going to do it. It was his highest score of the week. But he did have a good mindset after the tournament, I noticed in his interviews. He said that he knows he has what it takes to win. Obviously, he's a two-time major winner in his career at the 2020 PGA Championship and the 2021 Open Championship. And he's had a tough start to this season overall, but he wants to put a positive spin on this third place finish at Augusta and really build off this for the rest of the year. And you mentioned Max Homa as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did fall off a little bit. That bounce at 12 was just so rough. Yeah. Having to take an unplayable lie out of the bush after a valiant search effort, he finally finds the ball and he just can't play it. He winds up with a double, and that really was the nail in his coffin in terms of catching Scotty. Homa went 67, 71, 73, 73. Pretty consistent. The Saturday and Sunday are a little rough. He finishes at minus four tied with the Englishman Tommy Fleetwood. I do want to shout him out a little bit because he was extremely consistent this weekend.
He was.
72, 71, 72, and a 69 on Sunday. 3 birdies and no bogeys or worse in the fourth round. Just an incredible final day at the Masters. He puts himself up there into a tie for third place. And I think Fleetwood and Homa, they are playing together this weekend at the Heritage Classic, and I think they might be on watch for a sneaky little win this weekend, bouncing off of the Masters.
Well, let's touch on that Heritage real quick, and we'll wrap up with a quick Augusta facts that we found about their financials, which is a little interesting. But yeah, this RBC Heritage, Tucker. It's a little interesting because Scheffler wins the Masters, number one in the world. He's going to headline the field again. But you look to other guys, too. The defending champion, Matt Fitzpatrick, will be there. 2022 winner, Jordan Spieth. That's why I picked Jordan Spieth to win the Masters, because I do like what he does outside of the Masters, but he comes into Augusta, and it's just not the same. Rory will be there. Patrick Cantlay will be there. Xander Schauffele will be there. Homa, Zalatoris, and our buddy Oberg. So we'll see about that. What do you feel about the RBC Heritage, Tucker, going into it? Who do you like, and do you see Scheffler running away with it or someone else?
Scheffler coming off of a win at the Masters, I think if I was Scotty Scheffler, I would take a nice week to myself at home.
So would
just relax.
Too, yeah,
yeah, exactly. But he will be in attendance at the RBC Heritage. But, I mean, he's playing the best golf of his career. We've already said that. I wouldn't be surprised if he won. But I am going to have to I'm going to have to lean towards Jordan Spieth.
Ooh.
I think, because you mentioned he won in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's winner was Matt Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick had to get through Spieth in a playoff to win the tournament last year. Spieth is set for another good run at the Heritage. Clearly he likes the course for the past two seasons, and I think he could be on watch for a win this weekend. Xander Schauffele pulled up in second at the tournament last year with 15 under. Fitzpatrick and Spieth's scores were both 17 under. So I think Schauffele and Spieth are definitely up there. Maybe look for them. And I mentioned before, Fleetwood and Homa coming off of solid performances at the Masters are probably going to want to build off that. And the Heritage is a very, very competitive tournament. And it's a solid-looking win on your resume. So I think these guys are going to be chasing after it. A few notable pairings for tomorrow for the first round. Scheffler and Spieth have been paired together.
Ooh.
Homa and Fleetwood, as I already mentioned. McIlroy is playing with Ludvig Åberg, which I think is going to be very interesting.
Great for Åberg.
And Morikawa and Schauffele have been paired.
There you go.
So it's going to be a very entertaining Thursday at the Heritage, and I hope it kicks off a really entertaining weekend.
I love the Jordan Spieth love, Tucker. I do. Finally, someone at the station doesn't think that he's washed. you know, he's still got game. And I just love when Jordan just hits it and he messes up and you just hear whatever comes out of his mouth. And that's all of us.
Yeah, me and my roommate actually watched his final round at, from the Heritage 2 years ago on YouTube this morning. Yeah.
Oh, really? good thing to watch if you're a Spieth fan. But yeah, that'll wrap up just about this episode. But we do want to touch on Augusta and just the financials that go into this, Tucker, because people don't understand about the Masters and what makes Augusta National so amazing of a course. You could look on, you know, social media and they're cutting the grass with the scissors, and that's great. And the maintenance, we'll get into that and why it's so pristine. But they also have, like, aqueducts that run under some of these holes that can drain out anything that, if it's rain, snow, sleet, hail, whatever the case may be, they can warm the course, too, if that's the case. And there's just so many different factors that go into this course that make it unique. But their financials, in terms of the Masters, are very interesting. They make $152 million a year. Ticket sales alone, they're profiting $45 million. So the 40,000 viewers that go to Augusta every single year, the ticket sales they're making from them is $45 million. You got to pay your staffing. So there goes that $45 million right out the window. Merchandise, plus $70 million. That is crazy. The merchandise that they make in the Masters Pro Shop generates half of what the Super Bowl generates. So take that into account for a second. So plus $70 million. Salaries, got to go $10 million there. They give away their national TV rights. So they're already cutting out another $270 million. They make $20 million back in some packages, whatever. $17 million food and beverage, minus $30 million course maintenance. Charity, they give away another $5 million. Equipment and rental, $18 million plus the purse, which is now $20 million this year due to everything increasing in price. So at the end of all of that math that no one paid attention to, plus $54 million in profit in terms of the Masters. That's pretty interesting, Tucker. And the course as a whole is the best. Every golfer's dream.
Oh, the pinnacle. Absolute pinnacle of the sport. Sits there in Augusta, Georgia, among the magnolia trees.
That's right.
And I think the one of the most interesting stats out of there was the $17 million in concession sales, because the concessions at the Masters are famously very reasonable. Obviously, like the pro shop is a little on the pricier side, But the concessions are very reasonable in terms of the like the food, the drinks, that classic pimento cheese sandwich.
$3 for it's crazy.
And the course is so pristine. The attention to detail is matched nowhere else. This tournament in particular, their social media team actually did a great job.
They did
with the promotions. One video I saw, I believe it was on their TikTok, was of the grounds crew swapping out the divots in the tee boxes between rounds with brand new sod.
That's
not just
so cool.
Like the green material that they use to fill the holes.
Yeah.
They were actually refilling them with brand new sod for a fresh tee box every round. It's the little things like that that just elevate a tournament to the next level. All the majors do that, but I think the Masters is just up far and beyond. It sets the benchmark for pretty much every other tournament.
The sand, too, that they bring in is quartz. Like, they got a lot of different things going on at the Masters, and it's the pinnacle, as you said, of everything that we do here in golf. And we look up to this tournament. We love this tournament. We truly, truly embrace this tournament. And congratulations to Scottie Scheffler, the 88th Masters champion, winning his second green jacket. He is the number one in the world, and he looks to defend his title at the RBC Heritage coming up this week. But once again, the final five in the Masters. Scottie Scheffler took it home, minus 11. Ludvig Åberg, the Swede, minus 7. Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood tying for third, minus 4 apiece each. And this was an amazing Masters tournament. Tune in soon for On the Green when we come back for another episode. I've been Dan Bartels, your host, along with Tucker Austin and everyone else in the production crew that can make this possible. This is WFUV Sports' On the Green. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler, the 88th Masters champion.